This is Paul Puckett, your host of Getting There, the money show that focuses on your life. As you know, Getting There is a variety show, and I often refer and say at the beginning of the show, thank you for joining the conversation. Well, a friend of mine pointed out, Paul, you don't have any call-ins on your show. So you're the only person talking, and you should remember from English class in high school that when only one person is talking, it's not a conversation, it's not a dialogue, it's a monologue. Well, that is true, but let me tell you why I'm still going to call it a conversation. I don't know about you, but when I'm, for instance, sitting in an auditorium, sitting at a seminar, sitting in a location, for that matter, sitting in a coffee shop, and someone is talking, and I'm listening to them talk, often during their pauses, I may not verbally say anything, but I'm thinking of my response to what they might be saying. And I don't know if you do that or not. I think most people do at some level. Now, I'm not talking about a conversation where you're chatting with a friend. I'm talking about when you're sitting in a room and someone is speaking and they're doing a monologue, but aren't all monologues really conversations? Okay, what a way to start the show. But today's show is going to be a bit out there, as they all are, just for fun. But I'd like to, before we dive into the show itself, I would like to say that today is a very special day. June 8th is the birthday of a guitarist who I absolutely... If he's doing a concert somewhere nearby, I'm going. You've heard me play him on the show before, but today all music is going to be by Derek Trucks in honor of his birthday. The first song we'll be playing, because it relates, all actually relate to what we're going to talk about a little bit, is from his Revolution album. This is Derek Trucks, Revolution. Happy birthday, Derek.
I see us walking to a better day. Gonna be alright.
And that was Derek Trucks, Revolution. You know, the lyrics begin, "People, it's just a dream away. I see us walking to a better day. I'll be all right when tomorrow comes. I feel the heat of a revolution." And maybe a revolution is what we need. I know that you all, whether you're on Facebook, LinkedIn, you don't even use social media, you watch the news, you pick up a magazine, you flip on the radio to hear some music, and you're inundated with fairly direct commercials from the investment industry, the insurance industry, well, actually from all industries, but the ones I want to focus on are from our industry, giving you advice on what you need to do. First thing you need to know on all news you see relating to your investments and your portfolio and your retirement and your insurance and everything else, they're directed towards a general audience, not towards your specific circumstances. So sometimes really good advice is not good advice for the person listening. That applies to this show as well. Everything you hear me talk about is intentionally general because I don't know, well, I may know you, some of you, but I may not. And I certainly don't know everybody's finances. I'm not psychic, and not everybody walks up and says, "Hey, Paul, here's all my finances. Please review them." So I think we need a revolution because we need to recognize that commercials and advertisements influence us sometimes subconsciously, and we end up doing something that is not necessarily a good idea. Now, for professionals in the audience, this is for everybody in the audience, but professionals, in addition to all the advertising you see, you know, it's public that we're licensed as insurance agents. It's public that we're investment advisors or brokers. Whatever it is we do, the companies out there know that we're not a retail customer. We may be, but we're also professionals. So I'm not going to name the organization I got this from, but what started me on this this part of the conversation here on Getting There is one of the products I often recommend. We talked a little bit last week about indexed universal life, and I often use indexed annuities, which have a really bad reputation. Why? I may have covered this, but the reason is they're often sold for the wrong reason. You'll hear ads, or you used to see ads a lot, on get the return of the market without the risk. I will personally guarantee you, you will not get the return of the market in those products, period, end of story. That's the whole reason you buy them. They don't do exactly what the market does. So the first part of the phrase, get the return of the market, is already untrue. Without the risk, maybe you can say that's semi-true, because you're not going to lose money unless you withdraw early and pay a surrender charge, or opportunity cost. The market does better in a given year than the product you buy, in which case you didn't really lose money, but you didn't make as much as you could have. Why? Because you thought you could get the return of the market without the risk. These products do not do that. So they're often sold. It doesn't make it a bad product, but it can make it a bad choice. They're often sold as a replacement for what? Equities. For those of you who wonder what an equity is, equity means ownership, stocks or ownership. So stocks, the stock market. All right. In my inbox at 9:47 a.m. today, steal your business back from the wirehouses. Steal your business back from the wirehouses. Now, this is directed at insurance agents. Wirehouses, in case you were wondering, is one of the terms used to describe Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, et al., the big brokerage firms. In the industry, we call them wirehouses. One day I'll look it up and find out why. I think I once knew, but it didn't seem important to remember. And the email starts with this. Would you get on a flight that has only an 89% chance of reaching your destination? I used to have a terrible fear of flying. I don't anymore, by the way. Worked through it. Fear is completely unnecessary. It's a choice, but that's a different topic. So I ask, they ask, would you get on a flight that has only an 89% chance of reaching your destination? I'm pretty sure all of us would say no. Now, here's where we just drop right into the vortex of this is not about helping your client. This is not about determining what products and services are appropriate if you're a fiduciary, which I am, that are in your client's best interest. Here we go. This terrifying question parallels a shocking truth about lies Wall Street uses to steal your retirement planning clients. Wall Street lying? Okay, well, that may be true, but in this particular case, maybe this ad is lying. We've put together a top secret information kit. It's very secret because I got it in my email box. So you can get up to speed on the wirehouse lies and expose the dangers to your clients. The disturbing results of a study debunking popular wirehouse tactics. This is what's included. A frank explanation on why the 4% rule needs to be thrown out the window. Okay, well, I happen to agree with that. I don't know what their explanation is because I'm not downloading the guide. How relying on an average rate of return actually loses money. Parentheses, the math is real. Well, yeah, you shouldn't rely on an average rate of return because you're not going to get an average rate of return. It's not the same every year. I like this one, the truth behind a secret exodus of brokers and why Wall Street wants to hide it. If they're exiting to become investment advisors. I'm not sure that statement's true to begin with, but once you get a certain level of seniority, it makes sense to form your own business. The most costly perpetuated lie on Wall Street. Don't let Wall Street continue to rob your client's future and your own wallet. Get your hands on this top secret information kit now. Oh, boy. Okay. So it's not just you guys that get hit with these ridiculous ads. So why am I bringing all this up? It's a very good question. I'm glad you asked. See, I told you it was a conversation. I'm bringing it up because this is not the way that a professional should choose products for their clients, and it's also not the way you should choose the products and services you use to reach your goals. You know, it just doesn't make any. Yet, many professionals, particularly those that are new to the profession, all of us, when we were new to the profession, didn't exactly know what we were doing. We might have had academic training. We may have had company training and industry training. But still, it takes a little while before you really... I was lucky. I was trained in a bank environment as a trust officer primarily. And so from the beginning, I looked at things a little differently. Actually, I did start at MassMutual, but that year and a half, as I may have told you, I originally thought a stock was like... Stock was something at the grocery store because I had a friend that was a stock boy at Publix. You know, they took care of the stock. Anybody who has any knowledge whatsoever of a firearm knows that the portion of the rifle or shotgun that you put against your shoulder is called the stock. Cattle ranchers, stock is the cattle, pigs, whatever. All right. So in the beginning, you just don't necessarily know what you're doing, and you're highly influenced by these things. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And I think sometimes what we really want to say, if we're smart and decide that maybe we should start with what is it we're trying to accomplish, and then how do we accomplish that, and then what do we need to accomplish that, that's a better route. We should just ignore pretty much all investment advertising. That's my recommendation. Ignore it. Ignore. As a matter of fact, you might want to tell them, as Derek Trucks might say, hey, don't bother me.
ocean coming all over me. And though I'm mighty shaken, down don't bother me no more. Down don't bother me no more. Down don't bother me no more.
And that was Derek Trucks, Don't Bother Me. On a musical side note, pun intentional, there's just something about the way his guitar sings. I mean, if you really want to have a little fun and you go to a bar in the evening, if it's having an open mic night, they have a band that's playing and you can say, hey, I want to sing Mustang Sally, and they play it and you sing it and you have a good time, or not. At any rate, you know, if you really want to see the lead guitarist of an open mic band night, whatever, just say, I'd like to sing something by Derek Trucks. He'll look at you like you've lost your mind and be like, well, you can do it, and I can play it, but it's not going to sound like Derek Trucks. Same as Tab Benoit. To be truthful, same as Stevie Ray Vaughan. A lot of guys can play it, but can they play it like Stevie Ray Vaughan? I mean, not to be picky, but I mean, let's be real here. Okay. Don't bother me. The message is ignore investment advertising. Ignore pretty much all advertising when it comes to retirement, unless it makes you think about something, in which case maybe you need to think about it, but don't necessarily just run out and buy whatever it is you just saw advertised. It applies to pretty much everything if you think about it. What's really funny is children. I knew a child, friend of mine's nephew, who was, or was it the niece? At any rate, one of the two children, if they saw an advertisement, they felt they had to have it. They'd get home from school, flip on the TV, and whatever the ad was, hey, Mom, you need to buy this. Well, hey, that's cool. They were a child. I think maybe all of us were that way at one time. Hey, the guy on TV says, this is awesome. Okay, enough on that. Enough on that. Hey, you know what? Speaking of advertising, for some reason, I just had a craving. I bet you know exactly what it is. Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee. Espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area, one of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. No, I didn't actually just go to B-Town Coffee. You know, it would be scary if transportation like they have in Star Trek was actually possible, and with my utmost apologies to my friends at B-Town Coffee, if I could transport anywhere, well, there's this coffee shop in Falmouth called Coffee Obsession I really like, and it's a little cooler up there right now than Florida. I like B-Town more, actually, but given the temperature difference between Cape Cod and Florida right now, I'd beam there. Or the oddly named sports bar, where nobody speaks English, and it's technically not really a bar, coffee shop, in a little village in the Liguria province of Italy. I would beam there, like, right now. At any rate, back to the show and what we're talking about. We ended last week's show with a point that's pretty obvious, but it never hurts to remember it, and that is, the past, we can change our opinions of the past, but other than that, we can't really do anything there. Why? Well, it's the past. We can look forward to the future, or dread it, whatever it is that we do. I hope you look forward to your future, but we're not there yet. We have no power there. So I ended the show last week by saying, remember, the only place and time you have power is right now. Literally, this second. Does that mean every second we should be doing our utmost to make more money, to do whatever the most important thing is in life? No. We're human. I mean, for one thing, sleep is necessary, but do we actually accomplish anything? Well, at a physiological level, we do. We let our muscles relax and get renewed for the next period of wakefulness. But what it means is we should live in the present, focus on the present, do what we need to do in the present so that we have a better future, but not get caught up in any mistakes we've made. Okay, if you're listening to this show, if you're not listening to this show, or in my case, if you're the host of this show, it is highly probable, almost guaranteed, you've either made a financial mistake or you've done something you might regret because you think, well, you know, this worked out okay, but I really wish I'd done this other thing. You got to let all that stuff go. You really do. It's not helpful to you. All right, why do I bring up stuff like this? The past, the present, the future. I did once want to open a company called Hindsight Investing, buy and sell when you wanted to. The only problem was when you invest, somebody's buying and somebody's selling. That's what you buy, somebody sold, and vice versa. And if you opened a company called Hindsight Investing, first of all, the regulators would have a field day. Second of all, it's really hard to find people, unless they're desperately looking for a tax loss, to let you buy what you want when you want it. It's not possible, because if I ever figure it out, I'll let you know. Let's take a look at some things you should do in the present, particularly if you're above the age of 20. I was going to say 50, but let's start with 20. You should already be thinking about maximizing your financial situation for purposes at 20 of retirement, yes, but probably of making sure you have enough for emergencies, getting your emergency fund set up. But also, listen, if you start contributing to your retirement plan at that age, you're going to be so far ahead, it's not even funny. But it gets more important at the age I was going to say, 45 to 50. Now, there's a lot of information out there. As a matter of fact, we call the amount of information now available to us today via the internet, I mean, forget everything else, the internet alone, data overload. There's so much information that it's hard to process all of it. But one of the big factors that a lot of people forget, I saw it up close and personal with one of my clients who was fairly wealthy. This is when I was a private banker, and they wanted to retire early. In their case, I believe they were 56, and their spouse was 52. And I'd been in the industry at that point well over a decade, and I just hadn't bumped into this before, and it's becoming more and more common. You've already heard people talk about it on the radio or TV. You've already seen articles on it, and that is the impact of the cost of health care for an early retiree. Okay, all of us have big health care costs, potentially. Well, if nothing else, the premium for the insurance has skyrocketed over the years. But what about if you decide to retire early? You know, you go back 50 years, people got the golden watch, retired pretty much around the time or after the time where they became Social Security and Medicare eligible. Well, when you retire early, you're not going to be able to get Medicare, and you've got to fund your own health care cost up through the day you get Medicare. You got to factor that in. If you want to retire early, you have to recognize the expenses of health care for you at an age where you're more likely to have a health care need. They're not getting lower, guys. The rate of inflation in health care, according to a recent study from a company called HealthView, which does an annual retirement health care cost data report that I'm looking at right now, available on the web, and I'll put a link on the website. 6.3% annual increase. I don't think your pay raise is 6.3%. Healthcare is one of the most rapidly inflating costs we have. It's gotten worse, not better, political comments aside. It's just the way it is. There's reasons behind it. I think one thing is the free market is not really in it. The government prints a lot of money to give us healthcare. Unfortunately, when you print money and put it in one sector, you get inflation. But it really doesn't matter what the cause is. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is we have to cover our own health care, however we choose to do it. It can be extremely expensive when you retire early before Medicare, but it can also be extremely expensive afterwards. Now, if you choose to download for your Insomnia Cure reading the HealthView Insights 2015 Retirement Healthcare Cost Data Report, by the way, they took this from 50 million actual healthcare cases. 50 million. I was talking last week about how they calculate the labor rate, and it's 100,000 people, and that's a huge study. This is 50 million. I'm positive they don't actually call the people. They do a bottom-up approach to calculating total retirement health care cost. One thing about this report I want to warn you about, it makes the mistake that many publications do of trying to determine what you need in retirement, what percentage of your current income you will need during retirement. Okay, let me help you there. It's whatever your number is. It's whatever your percentage is, and it's a guess, because until you get there, you really don't know. The old rule of thumb, some people still use it, is you need 75% of the income you made during your career, well, each year, as retirement income. Well, here's my experience. I've known people that didn't need more than 20%, and I've known people that needed 150%. And it's not always driven by their lifestyle. Well, it can be. People that like to travel are going to need a little more, because when you're retired, you don't have to ask the boss, hey, can I take 2 weeks off? I want to go to Italy. You know, you can do whatever you want to a certain degree. You know, you may have family obligations, social clubs, churches, whatever other obligations you have, but pretty much you make a decision what you do, but you got to have the money to do it. Travel is expensive, but you know, a bigger segment of retirees, the big expense is healthcare. So this particular study indicates that just the lifetime retirement health care premium cost for a 65-year-old healthy couple that retired last year, who immediately sign up for Medicare Part B, D, and a supplement insurance policy. They're going to be paying premiums, okay, based on their life expectancy, of $266,000 plus. Of course, keep in mind, this is general. This is taking an average of what is spent. Some people are lower, some people are higher. But here's the thing. At 55, when you're not eligible for Medicare Part B, D, and a supplemental insurance policy, and you're on an ACA plan or on your company plan, total lifetime health care costs are more than almost double, $463,000 plus. So you need to factor in and anticipate, I need a bucket for anticipated health care needs. Now, you may feel trapped as a result of that and many other things in the financial circumstance, financial universe. People often do feel trapped because there's just too much we have to know. And so you may be thinking to yourself, I wish I knew how it would to be free. I think I missed a word in that title as I was trying to segue to that song. I think I called it, I Wish I Knew How It Would To Be Free. I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel To Be Free. An important word, because feelings are obviously important. Now, for those of you who've never heard Derek Trucks, you've heard me mention on the show before. Today, again, we're doing Derek Trucks songs because A, I love Derek Trucks Band, and B, it's his birthday, so it's a good excuse. I wish I knew how it would to be free. Do you feel like you're not free, out of curiosity? I mean, at times in our lives, we all feel trapped. We all feel like the song I played the other day, hey, don't bother me. We feel like maybe we need a revolution, which we do. By the way, that revolution does not involve big groups of people going out and doing anything. The revolution I'm talking about is your own personal revolution. I have a video I made about 5 years ago called Your Own Personal Apocalypse. That may sound odd because we think of apocalypse now, we think of the end of the world, but actually the Greek meaning of apocalypse is probably not what you think it is. I may be mistaken because I'm going a bit from memory, but apocalypse, I believe, has its roots in the language of the Greeks. It's Greek. An apocalypse in Greek, you could interpret it mean the end of the world, but what it means is a disclosure of knowledge, a lifting of the veil. So to make that point, I did a little video on gettingthere.tv, which I'm going to start doing again here soon. All the videos you see on there are back when I wrote my book, Investophobia. And what I want to do is start doing some videos that tie into this show so that you all have the pleasure of seeing me while hearing me. I know you're looking forward to it. But, you know, we may not feel like we're free, and maybe what we need is that apocalypse, the lifting of the veil, the knowledge that actually we are. The only determination of whether you're free or not is one you make. It's one you make. And yes, okay, this sounds completely unrelated to investing, but let me ask you something. We've talked about on this show that life and time are infinitely more valuable than money. They're priceless. Sort of like the MasterCard commercial. They literally are priceless. You can't assign a price like you can to a stock or whatever. But let me ask you a question. So, you know, we talk about a personal apocalypse. We talk about having a revolution, and it doesn't have to involve everybody else, just our own personal revolution where we decide, here's how I'm choosing to use my time. Here's how I'm choosing to live my life. Here's how I'm choosing to invest my assets. And here's why I'm choosing maybe to use professional guidance or not. Hopefully, you don't leave out an attorney and accountant in your plan. You don't have to have a boatload of money to need both. But let's get back to the main point. Why do I tend to talk a lot, I believe, about stuff that just doesn't seem to sound anything like investing? I mean, you know, personal apocalypse? Come on, Paul. Or a personal revolution? Well, you know, the second show or third show, I think it was, we had Lori Peters from Happiness Hangout on to talk about ways to be happy. I hope those of you who heard that show are still using your gratitude journal and making gratitude comments at the wonderful drivers you see each day as you go down the road. But happy people, first of all, what's more valuable, a bigger portfolio or happy? Being happy. Well, being happy. Here's the thing. Happy people tend to have better investment returns. Now, for regulators listening in the audience, I did not just say that if you find a way to be happy, you will have a higher investment return. And that's for the rest of you, too. What I'm saying is, when you're happy, you're paying attention to your life. You're enjoying your life. You're not staring at the markets. You're not staring at your portfolio. Well, funny enough, there's another video I did back then on Grow Them Maters, on my Southern heredity. For those of you who don't know what a mater is, that's a tomato or tomata. You say whichever one you want. I say maters. At any rate, you know those things grow even when you're not looking at them? They do. I mean, you can sit in the backyard and try to watch tomatoes grow, but they're going to do it anyway. And since they're going to do it anyway, we don't have to sit there and watch them grow. Now, what do we need to do with our investment portfolio and our tomatoes? Well, you do have to check up on them. I mean, tomato plants are going to grow as long as they have adequate water and they're going to produce tomatoes. But, you know, there's lots of things you have to watch for. You don't have to stare at the plant 24/7, but you may want to stop by and see if there's any bugs on the plant, see how the leaves look from a color standpoint. Well, you do the same thing with your portfolio, but you don't have to do that every day. Go out and enjoy yourself. Be happy. Have fun after you put a plan in place. That's what's important. What's important is to use the power you have here in the present to put together the plan you need. That plan develops over time and changes based on changes in your financial circumstances, based on changes in your health, hopefully not, but it happens all the time, based in changes that you just wake up one day and go, you know, I thought I wanted to go do this right now or in 10 years or in 20 years, and I was planning for this, but I just had a total great idea, and I'd like to do something different. And so you have to have flexibility in your plan. That's why diversification is important. Some products, for instance, almost all annuities, almost all life insurance, well, actually all life insurance policies, and certain investment products that you can buy from a wirehouse, since we used that term earlier, meaning your broker, financial advisor is what they like to be called. You know, they have surrender charges, some of them. Some of them must be held a certain number of years. Some, well, even a bank CD. Cash out early, you pay a penalty. With interest rates as low as they are, since the penalty is based on interest on a CD, it really isn't that big a deal. But there's lots of things you buy that aren't that flexible. That's why it's important to have an emergency fund of cash you can always access and to leave the opportunity for change in your portfolio. So what did we just talk about? Let's clarify. We talked about a revolution that we need to have where we ignore advertising. We talked about apocalypse actually means a disclosure of knowledge, a lifting of the veil. We see things that we missed before. Okay, maybe you never miss anything. I've been known to. So I like the idea of taking a step back and seeing, is there something I'm missing? It's important. Sometimes what you're looking for is maybe how you feel. But whatever you do, what is important from a financial standpoint is to put together a plan that's specific to you using your numbers and verify those things with a professional. Now, taxes can have a huge impact on those things as well. So you talk to your attorney, your accountant. I said attorney because a lot of attorneys, particularly for those that need estate planning and have a higher net worth, often have inside their firm people with the LLM designation. Those are tax attorneys. They're highly trained, just like a CPA is, to analyze the impact taxes can have on your portfolio and give you advice on, well, what should I do? What's the better move from a tax standpoint? But the main point of this segment is focus on being happy, and I believe you will find that not only will you enjoy your life more, but you will probably also have better investment returns. We're going to take a brief break, one last song, and some comments afterwards, and close out the show. Hi, this is Paul Puckett, and you're probably expecting this to be me letting you know about one of the jewels of Bradenton B-Town Coffee. But no, this is actually a different thought. Every piece of music you hear played on this show and links to the songs, the albums, and the websites for the artists are available at www.gettingthere.life. That's www.gettingthere.life. Why? Because one of the goals I have on this show, one of the goals I have for you is to introduce you to music you may not have heard or remind you of music you have heard but you completely forgot about. So you can put it on your iPod, you can put it on your radio, you can get it loaded into your computer, you can buy it from the artist directly as a CD or an MP3 file, you can go to iTunes, wherever it is you want to go. Now, I don't make any money on that. I haven't set up anything where I get a percentage. Yes, I know I could, but that's not my goal here. My goal here is to hopefully educate you a little bit about investing, maybe about life, maybe, dare I say it, possibly in some way offer a certain level of enlightenment about how to look at everything. Okay, that's a big goal. It may happen. It may not. There's no plan there, by the way. The show itself is not scripted. I often don't know what I'll be covering on the show until the microphone goes on. But there's always something to talk about in the conversation on Getting There. So just a reminder, www.gettingthere.life. Go to the episodes tab. You'll be able to download pretty much anything I talked about on the show. You can't download the music, but I'll send you to a place, send you a link so you can. You know, I hope you can tell, I really do enjoy putting together this podcast, this radio show, this whatever you wish to call it. It's my way of trying to share things I've learned over the course of my career about not only investing, but about life. You know, this, from a musical standpoint, is going to end up being one of my favorite shows because I'm playing Derek Trucks, one of my favorite artists. And I believe I have played the next song before, but it just fits so well. It just fits so well. We started with Revolution by Derek Trucks. We played I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. Why do I leave that word out? I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free. And Don't Bother Me. Don't Bother Me. Which is a healthy thing to say occasionally. Just be careful who you say it to. I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. What if we already are free? And that was Derek Trucks already free. We are already free. One thing I didn't mention for those of you that haven't heard the Derek Trucks Band or seen them live in concert, which I highly recommend, Derek's actually the guitar player, which you already knew, but not the singer. The voice you're hearing is the voice of Mike Madison. The guy's got so much style, it's scary. You got to go hear this band. You really do. And if not, you need to go to iTunes or, you know, whatever it is you use, the record store. Speaking of records, I love the way that song fades out. It sounds like an old record player. For those of you that are in the audience old enough to remember what a record player sounded like fading out. Okay. Lessons, if you want to call them that, thoughts from the day's show. You need to ignore investment advertising, except to the extent that you might want to ask a professional or do some research yourself on what is it they're advertising, does it apply to me, should I use it? But generally speaking, I think you're probably wasting your time doing that. Ignore a lot of this stuff about Wall Street lies. Does Wall Street sometimes lie? Sure. Well, so does the insurance industry. Thank God politicians don't. Oops, sorry. So you're already free, and your power is in the present. I hope you enjoyed the conversation today on Getting There and understood my explanation of why I consider it a conversation, because I hope, unless you're driving, that maybe you're having an internal conversation on whatever I may say. You may even drift off and think about something more important to you for a little while. But I do consider it a conversation, and I hope you do as well. Now, next week, we're going to be interviewing, and you know, I know the fella, so I don't know if I should use his real first name or the one I call him, but today I'll use his real first name. We're going to be interviewing Myron Campbell, a dedicated father and multi-talented filmmaker and writer who has written the book specifically for children and is participating in an organization to try to get kids to read more. Very admirable goal. I'm really looking forward to talking to him on next week's show. Until then, if you're in sunny Florida, let's hope it returns to sunny Florida. The storm wasn't that bad, but it was continuous rain. And, you know, I meant to give a lesson about that because a week ago, we were basically in the beginnings of some kind of a drought. Since then, I don't want to know how many inches of rain we got. Derek Trucks, if you can see him, go out and see him. And have a great week. I'm looking forward to interviewing Myron Campbell next week. Until then, enjoy.